So our first story is called A Lost Coin. So we have a woman and she has lost a coin. She was desperate to find the coin, looking high and low. At last, the coin was found. She is so excited and she can't wait to tell her friends. Our second story is called A Lost Sheep. So we have a shepherd and he's out with his sheep. He walked ahead and all his sheep followed. But you see, one of the sheep got a little bit distracted. The sheep had lost the rest of the flock and started to bleat for help. And now back with the shepherd realized one of his flock was lost. He searched in crags and hollows, rivers and rocks, until at last the missing sheep was found. He was so excited, he told all his friends and invited them for a party. And our final story is called A Lost Son. So we have a son who was full of energy, but short on cash. So he persuaded his dad to stump up the inheritance ahead of time. The son took the money and ran off to find the biggest parties, the coolest clothes, and amazing new friends. But of course, it couldn't last. And when his money ran out, the son realized what a complete mess his life was in. He was miles from home, but he set off, just hoping that his dad would take him back in. But the dad also never gave up hope. He kept loving and watching and waiting for his lost son to return. He sat by the window and stared at the road. Till one day, he saw a weary body trudging slowly, and he just knew. He threw open the door, sprinted towards the boy, and the son was wrapped in love and joy, and the father threw the biggest party to let everyone know that the best thing possible had happened. His son, who was as dead, was now alive. He was lost, and now he was found.
Thank you so much, Grace. So I started off thinking I was going to be speaking this morning just about the lost sheep. And as I thought about it, I thought, actually, I want to do three stories. So you've got buy one, get two free or something this morning. We've got three stories about things being lost. A lost coin, a lost sheep, a lost son. And really quickly, we're going to have a little think about those stories. I'm just going to get my notes while I... So if we have, first of all, we're going to think about how to get lost. Now, when I went round and asked some of you said, no, I've never lost anything, and I've never been lost. I thought, wow, you're the person I want to have with me if I'm going out on an expedition. But the rest of us find it very difficult to keep track of stuff. And we lose things on a regular basis, or we get lost. And the Bible tells us that that can happen to each one of us. In different ways. And if we have a little think, first of all, the coin, it sort of got lost by accident. We don't know exactly, Jesus didn't say, but you can imagine if it was something special, the lady would have maybe broken her necklace, or it just got, the pot got tipped over or something. There was an upset of some sort, and the coin got lost. And I was thinking about that, how in our lives, sometimes we can end up being a bit lost because something has happened that we didn't expect. Maybe it's a job loss or a friendship loss. Maybe it was becoming ill or a relationship breaking down. Something a bit sudden and shocking can happen to each one of us. And our world gets a bit thrown up in the air and we feel lost. We're not sure. Where is God in all of this? Why would he let that happen? Why haven't I had a, you know, better life? We'll find out the answer in a moment. But we end up feeling a bit lost and a bit that God hasn't protected me here. God hasn't provided for me here. What's gone on? So the second way we might get lost is by getting distracted, like that silly old sheep. We can all get distracted. This world, we can very easy for us to rush around, isn't it? And we just don't pay attention to what God is saying in our life. And it's interesting that we might not pay attention. The sheep, if we think just about the sheep for a moment, Harsh to blame a sheep, I know. Who knows what goes on in a sheep's mind? Probably not very much. But it didn't pay attention to the shepherd. And it didn't pay attention to the rest of the flock. And that's how it got lost. And I wonder if sometimes, in all our busyness, we don't take time to listen to our shepherd, who's Jesus. Because I don't think this story is just about people who are not Christians becoming Christian. I think it's about for all of us. We can get lost at various times. When we stop listening to the word of Jesus, when we stop reading our Bibles, when we stop taking quiet moments to pray and listen, that we lose that sense of hearing his word in our lives. And maybe we've lost touch with our community, our church community, our friends who are Christians. Because God wants us to be in community. He wants us to have that encouragement that comes from being with one another, that prayer support, and that sense of strengthening that we get with one another. And sometimes when those things get just pushed down the agenda because life's got too stressy and busy, that's when we start to feel a bit lost from God's purposes in our life. And then the last one was the young man, the son. He decided. He wasn't an accident. He'd thought about it. I want to walk away from this. I've got my ideas about what I want to do with my life. It involves a lot of money, but hey, I can get a hold of it. I can do what I want. My life, I choose. And that may be your experience or the experience of someone around you, that they've just decided, this is not for me. I don't want God in my life. I've got other fish to fry, other things to do. I've got my heart set on chasing that job, or I've got my heart set on that relationship. And I know I've got to walk away from God to make that happen. And we may have moments in our own lives, or know of other friends and family who are in that situation. And like the father in the story, you know, God doesn't step in and intervene because he wants us to make our own free choices to love him. It's not about compulsion. And God waits and waits patiently for us to realize he wants that we can go back to him. And there's a Bible verse here I want to share with you from Isaiah 53 that says, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, that means the wrong things, of us all. So it's not one or two of us, it's all of us. We all get lost. There's a problem, and these things take us away from God. But there's a hint of the solution there for us. The Lord has laid on him. Who's the him? We believe that's Jesus. That Jesus made a way for us to be unlost. Let's have a look at the other side, the found. So how can we be found? Now, the first one, and you may think, heretic, throw out the church. But I thought, what did the coin do? Now, all right, it's only a story. But the coin didn't do anything in the story. It lay under a chair or a sideboard or down the back of the sofa and waited to be found. And I think the point that I got from this story was that God does the seeking. There's no amount of us trying to be a good person or working ourselves up. Or maybe if I came to church every day for a year, maybe God would be pleased with me. The Bible says all our good deeds are like filthy rags to him. He does the seeking and the saving. And this verse says this, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And when we recognize that we cannot do anything to put ourselves right with God, if you know you're in a bit of a funk, don't wallow in it, but just say, thank you, Jesus, that you have come to seek and to save me. And the Bible has a special word for that, which we don't use a lot in everyday English. It's called grace. That means God has done the work for us. He has provided for us. He's gone looking for us. The second thing we could do to be found is to call out. Now, the Bible doesn't actually say the sheep was bleating, but, you know, it's only a story anyway. But sheep being sheep, they do tend to make a bit of a racket, don't they? And I'm sure if you were lost on a hillside, you know, you'd give it a good bit of welly, wouldn't you? Help, help. I'm over here. And the Bible encourages us, when we feel lost and distanced from God, to call out to him and just simply say, God, I'm lost, I need your help. And this Bible verse here says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all you need to do, is to call on the name of the Lord. Say, God, I've got it so wrong. I just need you to come and save me. And the final thing, what did the son do? He sort of realized he got it wrong. He realized he was powerless in his situation. He didn't have any money, didn't have any friends, didn't have a job. Well, horrible old job, but he realized he had nothing he could do, and he realized his father did have the resources to help him. But at that point, he had a choice. Was he going to actually face up and turn around and walk away from those bad choices and walk towards his father? And you might be at that point, or somebody you know might be at that point. The Bible calls it repentance, of understanding that we need to turn around and turn away from the things that displease God in our lives. And we need to walk towards him. And it's not just like, oh, you might be thinking, well, I haven't robbed a bank recently, Liz, you know. I haven't had an affair that's been caught on camera and shown to the nation, you know. I'm all right, me, you know. It's not just that. It's all the business about doing your life your way. And the Bible calls that pride. And he says that's not okay with God. We need to give up what we think we're going to do with our life and hand it over to God. Stop being self-centered, self-driven, self-satisfying lives. Give it all to God. I'm reading at the moment from a little Bible commentary each morning, try and read a little bit of the Gospel of Luke. And one of the comments that was made recently really struck home. I'm just trying to find the right page. Here we go. And I thought I would share with you, what does it mean to really follow after Jesus? What does it mean to turn around and decide to go God's way? And the author, Phil Moore, said someone gave him a card on the day that he prayed a prayer and wanted to become a Christian. And he said, this is what it says. The die has been cast. The decision has been made. I have stepped over the line. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, top, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable, and my vision is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, or slow up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and spoken up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. And you may be thinking, well, that's just a lot of words there. But the Spirit is invoking is that when we turn away from the things that God is calling us away for and step into his promises, that's when we start to know the joy of being found. And the result in all of those stories, I don't know if you worked it out, the end of each of those stories, there was good news to share with people. And Jesus said the story, the woman called all her friends and said, whoa, and the shepherd called his friends and threw a party, and the dad threw a party. God seems to like parties. I'm quite glad about that. And, you know, God wants us to enjoy life to the fullest. And it's when we turn around and step into his promises that he says, there is such a party in heaven that you won't know. And there's going to be a party in heaven ultimately when we go to be with him, he says. So great joy and great love. But the final thing, I wonder if that's what heaven looks like. You know, people think about heaven as people floating around on a cloud with white angels and what have you. I like that picture a little bit more. Why not? Having a good old fun time. That's what God wants for your life. And his purposes are to bring that joy and that love into your life. But the final thing is a sense of being repurposed. Do you know, if that coin had been sitting underneath a dusty dresser or something, it probably was a bit manky and dirty by the time it came out. And I'm sure the lady polished it up and made it bright and shiny and maybe fixed it back into the necklace again. The sheep, when it had been out on the hillside for a bit, might have been a bit drenched and maybe even a bit hungry and what have you. And the shepherd took it in and took care of it. And the son, we're told, was desperately dirty and hungry. And part of God's purpose is to repurpose you into your life. And I just wanted to leave you with a final challenge, that God wants to turn you from someone who's sort of, you know, maybe getting lost into somebody with a new purpose in life that he can use. And in our final slide, we actually went as a family a few years ago now to a concert by an orchestra that's called the Lost and Found Orchestra. And what they do is they take all sorts of items of junk and turn them into instruments. And it was such a lot of fun. Who knew that you could, you know, make music with a tea towel or a Tesco bag or a, you know, all sorts of strange stuff. Just for a bit of fun, I'm just going to show you, I think it's a 30-second clip. It's really not long. See if you can work out all the different instruments that are being used up there and what they've been made of. Have a look. It was. It was joyful, it was exuberant, stuff that you thought was nothing, an old road cone, and there it was, having a load of fun on the stage. And I think that's sort of a picture of what God wants to do with you and I, as together as a church, that we may feel we've got, you know, not much to offer, but maybe God wants to transform you and your skills so that he can use you for his glory. And God has good purposes for us individually and together when we turn back to him. So the challenge for you this morning is to not be lost, but to keep being found by our Heavenly Father. Keep stepping into his good purposes and allow him to use us to make amazing music, as it were, for us and for the community around us. I'm going to invite Grace to come up again. And we're going to sing two songs which talk about belief and talk about grace and understanding that God's purposes for us are good. And before we do that, I'm just going to pray briefly and ask you to think about coming back into God's good purposes, stepping towards him, and affirming what we believe. So let's just pray briefly. Heavenly Father, we are so aware that your standards are so far from ours. We fall from your standards every day. We lose ourselves in our own selfish needs, in our understanding of what is right and good. We drift away from hearing your voice, and we are sorry. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent Jesus, who showed us the perfect life, who died on the cross so that all of the mistakes we make may be forgiven. And so that you can give us new life in yourself. And Father, we would just want to turn towards you now and say, will you wash us clean? Will you forgive us? Will you welcome us back like that father in the story did, not just with a hello, but a hug and a cloak and a ring and a party? Thank you that your father heart is always watching and waiting for us. That we just need to turn and walk towards you. Amen.